Now it is my time. I'm about too tired to preach. Oh, hallelujah. But I thank God for what I feel right now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Lord is worthy. And every time I get reminded that he hadn't left me, every time I get reminded that despite my faults, he still is right there by my side. Anybody hear me this morning? Because I want you to know, just because your testimony is I'm saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, there's still something wrong with all of us. Truth be told, we're not that sanctified. Hallelujah. If you will, I'd like to share with you, and between the Spirit and Brother Darrell and the Lord and everybody else, I'm just going to have to move here this morning. Do the best I can this morning. Now, don't get surprised if once I get started, everything fall back into place. We may be in here a minute. Right now, I'm hyped. So we're going to move along and see what the Lord did. The Gospel according to St. Luke, and I'd like to share with you, I'll just share three verses, 17, 18, and 19. The Bible reads, "And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people." I'd like to use for a thought a subject this morning from those passages, propose a question to the body of Christ this morning. And that question is, what have you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? What have you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? I wonder this morning, are we aware of how blessed we are? First of all, just to be in the house of God in this place at this given time, and we are still yet alive, and we're full of joy, we're full of hope, and we know that we got the Lord on our side. And so we are thankful that God has blessed us to assemble ourselves together in worship on this special day that is known nationwide as Easter Sunday, a day that believers rejoice in the victory that Jesus had over death and the grave. Our God did just what he said that he was going to do, for he had shared with the disciples that he would be betrayed, he would suffer, he would die, but he would rise from the grave on the third day. He would go before them and he would see them over in Galilee. Today is a day of celebration, a day that we teach others and we refresh ourselves of what God's love did for us at Calvary. We got to understand that it was the love of Christ that he loved us so much. And we need to know the depths of Jesus' love and how he allowed himself to die in our stead. He came to save us from our sins, and not so much because of our sin that he had to die, but he was hung up for our hang-ups, those things that we are doing, those things that we have issues with, those problems that we face in life. Do you get to understand that even though we may use the excuse sometime, I'm only human, but you got to know that even though you're only human, but you're in the image of God himself. himself. And so if you're only human and you are in the image of God, you got to remember that all of your breath, all of your strength, everything that you got comes from God. And I realized that the Bible declares that it was God that formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living soul. But I also found out that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I found out through the word of God that we were shaped, we were born and shaped in iniquity, and we were born in sin. So because of sin, in order for us to become a believer, something has to be done. First of all, we got to repent. We got to confess. We've got to talk to the Lord our God. Has anybody had that little talk with Jesus this morning? I know that you're saved and you're sanctified, but that don't mean that you're supposed to stop talking to God. My Bible declared that men should always pray, pray without ceasing. And that's how we communicate with God. We talk to God early in the morning. I don't know. Sometimes in the noonday, we are talking to God. And every now and again, you can be watching television and you just stray away from the commercial and you start talking to God. Anybody ever have a God break? Every now and again, you hear folk talking a whole lot of mess and you have to steer your mind away so that you can get your mind clear and allow the Lord God to just move freely through you. So I thank God for being that kind of God that loves us because he is a merciful God. He is a forgiving God, and because he loves us so much, the Bible declares in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that was an unconditional love that God has for us, in that he made a way for us, and he made a way out of no way. He made a way that not only would we live on this side of life, but he has made it possible that we can live life eternally. So let me say, as believers, that it is our responsibility to share the good news. We got a whole lot of mouth about something, but I wonder how much do we talk about Jesus? If you ask somebody about somebody else's business, you got a little bit to say. But if you ask somebody, what do you know about Jesus? What do you think about what the Lord God has done in your life? And every one of us, even as we read the word of God and as we read about the resurrection of Jesus, we find that there were four gospels and four men gave their account of what they seen and what they heard and what they saw. But we realize that because we see things a little bit different, and I don't say things the way that you say things, and I don't write things down the same way that you write things down. So my determination of how things may be a little bit different from Darrell's, but we got to look at the main scope of things, that the idea is the same, the reason is the same, the purpose is the same, and the actions are the same. We just have a different way of telling a story. Anybody know that every now and again you ought to know how to tell your story? Heard a young man preached about that the other night. Said, tell the story right. And some of us, we don't know how to tell a story right. We tell it like we want to tell it. I don't care how we saw it. We know how to fix it up. Any fixer-uppers in here? We got any of them folk that hear it one way, but we say it another way. We got any of them folk in here that see things out of one eye, but they say things like they seen it out of three or four eyes. Anybody in here think that they know everything? We got some folk that you can't tell nothing. We got some folk that I don't care how much shouting go on. I don't care how high you lift him up. There's somebody neck so stiff that they can't even look around. I'm tired of stiff neck Christian. I need to know that somebody love God. I need to know that somebody come to give God some praise. Anybody know that we got to share the good news? What's some good news? I need some good news. Good news. Good news. Every now and again we need good news. People wake you up early in the morning with bad news. Late in the midnight hour with bad news. Don't many folk call you with good news? I got good news for you this morning. Don't nobody else like you. God loves you. I got good news for you this morning. I don't care what you done in your life. You serve a God that is able to pick you up, a God that is able to get you up out of your mess, a God that is able to erase away from your mind all of your yesterday. Don't you know when Paul said, I'm going to forget those things that are behind me. You can get out and let your yesterday go and start. Keep on pressing forward. Anybody pressing toward the mark? Now, those of you that are pressing, how many of you know that it's not an easy journey? How many of you know that just because you say you love God, that don't mean everybody love you? How many of you know that every time you try to do the right thing, that evil is always in the midst? How many of you know that every time you get that I dotted and you cross that T, doggone it, something else done jumped up in your situation? Every time I get everything worked out, look like something else is already before me. But anybody in here got their mind made up, I'm going to go on anyhow. I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I'm going to do what nobody else can do. I just want to know that I'm going on and I'm going to let the Lord God have his way. We got to learn to tell the good news. We got to share that good news with our young people this morning. It's got to be passed down to ongoing generations. We got to let them know that it's not about the Easter bunny. It's not about candy with the inside of the egg. The egg didn't have anything to do with it, no way. That's just commercialism, but if they want to have a good time with that, but it's our responsibility to let them know the real deal. And the real deal is Easter is about passion. Easter is about a man that died and gave his life for your wrongdoing. Those little time that you get in time out. That's why Jesus died for you. You ain't old enough to understand yet, but you need a little time out now. When you get to talking too much, time out. When you get to being so hard-headed, you can't hear what nobody else say. It's time out. And if I had on a belt, I'd pull it off and let you know that sometimes time out means it's time to beat the beat down. Anybody know how to get the beat down? That's what will pass along to us. Nobody exempt. You might have thought you was the favorite, but when everybody gonna get it, everybody gonna get it. Somebody worrying these poor educators to death because we don't allow our children to know that you can't do anything when you get out to the schoolhouse. Where this coming from? It ain't got nothing to do with the resurrection, but I need to help some educators this morning. We need to get some of our lazy parents up off of their stool and do nothing and stop allowing the society and the village to raise your child and start doing some things in the house. Stop going down there and making a fool out of yourself. Because you know, if Susie got a lot of mouth at home, Susie got mouth at school. So let us share good news. Let us pass along down to our generations that you got to treat folk with respect. Let us teach them the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We got to teach them that God loves them despite themselves. And we got to let them understand that, oh, you're going to make some mistakes in life, but we serve a God that will never leave you, neither will he forsake you. You got to be honest enough and tell that child that there were times in my life when I wasn't in the will of God, but God looked beyond my faults and I learned how to go and talk to the Lord. You got to tell the children how to talk to God. Now I lay me down to sleep is all right, but after they get to a certain age, you got to know that while you're awake, you better be talking to God, because you're not always being laid down to sleep. There are times when you're walking along down in the community, and if your child know anything about the power of God, if you plant that seed in them when you are not around, they still got their protection. See, we need to put a covering over our young folk and let the enemy know that I don't care what you try, you're not going to get mine. So, brings me to my question of the day. What have you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? Last week, we talked about Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial. We also reflected on the joy and the enthusiasm of the crowd on that Sunday, that as Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and all the shouts of praise, of adoration, and all of them were crying out Hosanna and waving palm branches and spreading their garments down along his path. And then we realized that just in a few days that Hosanna changed to crucify him. So let us be aware of the fact that Jesus had become very popular, and he was so well known among the people that he was respected as holy and mighty. He was the one that they considered to be a miracle worker. Because of that, he was despised and he was hated by the religious leaders and the scribes and the Pharisees. Even the Roman government should not have been able to crucify him on an unfair trial. But Pilate had to even go along with the program. And then at one occasion, he said, I find no fault in this man. And you got to understand that we're talking about a God that has never, ever made a mistake. We're talking about a God that was sinless. We're talking about a God that came down to dwell in the midst of us in the flesh. And the Bible declared that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as I think about God coming in the flesh, I can't help but to say thank you, God, for loving us enough to come down and do those things that only you could do. I want to say thank you, God, that when you looked and all of those that you created, you found that when nobody worthy, and nobody was in a position to save us from our sins, and nobody was in a position to make amends for ourselves. So you loved us so much that the Bible declared that you allowed your son to come, and after coming, he had to die ashamed for death. So now, as we walk just for a moment through Passion Week, let us revisit some of the things that transpired throughout that week. We find that on that Sunday, after he got into the city, and after they made all of this noise and did all of these praises and did all of this lifting up him and letting everybody know that they love the Messiah, but then early the next morning, the Bible said, it was early the next morning that they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and he began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer any man to carry any vessel through the temple. In other words, on that Monday when Jesus stopped by the church house, things were out of order. And the Lord God didn't like what he saw, and he began to let them know by his actions that I don't like this mess that's going on in here, because my house is supposed to be the house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves, and I don't like what's going on, and I'm going to let you know that you're not going to sell this junk up in my house, because in my house, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. And so I see my Jesus going there on that Monday and turning over all the tables and letting them know. Now, don't you know that somebody looked at the miss and say, ain't that Jesus? What Jesus doing turning over the table? I thought he was a man of love. I thought he was a man that understand. But anybody know that saved folk get mad sometimes? Hello, anybody in here except me? So here he is looking at what's supposed to be the house of prayer, and they have turned it into a den of thieves. Now, the Bible declared that on that Tuesday, they began to challenge Jesus. They came to him, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, they came and they said, by what authority do thou do these things? And who gave thee this authority to be able to do these things? Now, who are you to ask Jesus who gives you authority to do what you do? If you know that this man had power enough to raise the dead from the grave, don't you know you shouldn't ask him any questions? When they asked Jesus, who gives you the authority, then Jesus should have said, what gives you the audacity to think you can ask me something? Don't you know that I can wave my hand and take your very breath away? Or I can use my other hand and make you not be able to open your mouth and say a mumbling word. Don't ask me why I do what I do. Wednesday, there's nothing significantly recorded about what went on Wednesday, but I thank God for Thursday. Thursday, they shared the Passover with the disciples in the upper room. And it was on that Thursday that we find that Jesus is betrayed and he's arrested and condemned by the Sanhedrin. But I thank God that even though it wasn't right, it had to be done. And on Friday, he was formally sentenced to death by Pilate and marked and crucified between two thieves. He died and is buried in a borrowed tomb and a rich man by the name of Joseph. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And out of all that the Lord God had gone through, I want to let you know that God will let you know when he's there. I want to let you know that the Lord, our God, he was the one that declared that in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. But I want to let you know when you think about what happened on Calvary's Hill. I want to let you know that when they stripped my Lord of everything that he had. They beat him down and they hung him on the cross. And after they got him on the cross and they got him in the grave. And after they got him in the grave, the Bible declared that early Sunday morning, some of the ladies that had been walking with Jesus, Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome, came and they had spices and they had their mind made up that we're going in and make preparation to anoint the body of Jesus. But I want to let you know, you better hear what the Lord God has said. For why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Why are you looking for God? Because they thought that the Lord God was still laying there dead in the grave. But I thank God that he is able this morning to get up out of the grave all by himself. They thought that the disciples had stole him in the middle of the night. But I thank God that the God was watching the door. And when the Lord God gets ready, God has a way to make everything work out for his good. The Bible says that the stone that was laid at the tomb, the stone was very heavy and couldn't nobody get in, and they thought couldn't nobody get out. But they didn't know who they were dealing with. They didn't know that they had the Son of the King of Kings. They didn't know that he was Jesus the Messiah. They didn't know that he had to do what he did. He had to die on Calvary's Hill. But he said that on the third day I'll get up out the grave. So when they got there and they looked inside the tomb, they tell me that two men were standing there in white raiment. These angels were standing there and said, why are you looking for the Lord? He's not here, for he is risen, just like he said that he would. He told them that I'm going to get up on the third day. And after the third day, I'm going on over into Galilee. But I want to let you know that while he was on his way, that's where I get to my text at this morning. For the Bible said that there were two men that were walking down the road. And as they walked down the road, they were having a conversation. Don't you know when things happen in the city, we always want to talk about it. I can hear those men talking right now. They begin to say, I don't know what happened. I thought he was King of Kings. I don't know how the Lord allowed them to beat him that way. But he allowed himself to die. He allowed himself to go down to the grave. And I don't know what happened to that man called Jesus. I want to know where my Jesus is. I want to know why he had to die. But I found out that Jesus came along. And when Jesus walked along with them, he made it so they didn't recognize who exactly he was. So the Lord God said unto them, what manner of conversation are you having? What are you talking about? What is all of this that make you so sad? If your Savior had been killed on the cross and you don't have anything to hope for anymore, don't you know you'll be sad down on the inside? When your loved one dies, you won't be sad down on the inside. So when you go back to Friday evening, and our Savior was hung there on the cross, when he gave up the cross and he gave up the ghost, and he allowed himself to die, he said, I commend my spirit unto the Lord our God, for it is finished. I'm going to get on up out of here. And he realized that I'm going to do what I got to do. But I want to tell somebody that he began to tell these two men, I want to know what you got so much conversation about. Why are there no joy in your heart? Why don't you have a smile on your face? I want to know why you're looking like you're looking. Have you ever seen somebody looking like they're looking? And you began to wonder why you're looking like you're looking. You began to say you look sad down on the outside. And you began to think in your mind, what got you so sad? But I want to let you know that they began to talk to the Lord our God. And the Lord our God began to talk back to to them. He said, one of them by the name of Cleopas, he answered him and said, are you a stranger? Don't you know what's been happening around here? That man called Jesus, he came to Jerusalem the other day. And we had a long week, but on Thursday night, they betrayed him. They arrested him. They beat him up real bad. And then on Friday, that man that they called Jesus, they had a chance to let him go, but they wanted to let somebody else go. They tell me that they hung him high between two thieves. And one of the thieves on the side said, oh, master, why didn't you save yourself? Don't you know you're supposed to be God? Don't you get tired of folk always trying to make you be holier than thou? They find it quick to tell you you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be a child of the King. I'm not supposed to be nothing. I am that I am. I am a child of the King. I am one that made by the dust of the ground. But even though I'm a child of the King, I've done some right and I've done some wrong. If there ain't anybody in the house can say you've done some wrong in your life, but the Lord your God, he looked beyond your fault. I found out why the Lord died. He died because I didn't have sense enough to hold my mouth. He died because I didn't have sense enough to stay in the house in the midnight hour. He died so that I might have joy. And I want to tell somebody that the Lord God began to say, I want to know if you know anything about this man called Jesus. If you know anything about the Lord, then what things have he done? I want to know, what have you heard? What have you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? Well, I heard that he got me up early this morning. I heard that the Lord loved me more than I love myself. I heard that the Lord God sits high and he looked down low. I heard that they strung him high. They stretched him out wide. I heard that the Lord God loves me. I heard that can't nobody do me like Jesus. What have you heard about Jesus? I heard that if I open up my mouth, if I confess my fault, if I believe in my heart that salvation is mine. I heard that if I hold on to God, everything is going to be all right. I heard that the Lord God will be right by my side, and I'm going to trust the Lord with everything that I got. What have you heard about your Jesus? I heard that he is the lily of the valley. The bright in the morning star. Heard he was the first. He's the last. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He's my joy. He's my taught my problem that helps me with all of my problems. He's a problem solver. He's a way maker. He is everything that I need him to be. And I want to know, do you know anything about Jesus? Have you heard about Jesus? That man from Galilee. Songwriter said, do you know the man from Galilee? If you get in trouble, that God, he'll set you free. And the only reason that we are free to praise him, to worship him, is because he went to Calvary and died in our stead. But the most important thing, not so much that he died, but because he got up. Just like he said. And so, as a believer, I know that there's a physical death, and after that physical death, there has to be a transformation. And in order for us to get to where Jesus is, because I heard that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And I heard that if I want to get there, all I got to do is just trust, believe, and hold out until the end. Be thou faithful unto death. But now, some of us that are afraid of death, let me help you. If we want to get where he is, we got to pass through the grave. It's just a passageway, resting place, a waiting area. But then, when the blessed day of our Lord comes, because I'm going to say this and I'm finished, I heard that that same Jesus that is sitting on the right hand of God, I heard that he's coming back. And when he come back, he's looking for a church. Not Fowles Chapel Baptist Church with the green pews. But he's looking for the church of his people. The Bible declared without a spot or a wrinkle. Look at us. All this nasty flesh on us. And because even though I took a good shower this morning, I'm still covered in nasty flesh. I got a testimony that I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm full of God's Holy Ghost. But I also got to understand that that don't mean anything if I don't have Jesus in here. What have you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? It's more than just saying there's power in that name. But I encourage you to get a relationship with your God. And so now that you're in relationship with him and you're having a regular conversation with him, he recognized your voice when you call on him. And so since I've been calling on him, he's been showing me I'm God. When you know that God is as good as he is, don't walk around hush mouth. It's time to open up your mouth and help somebody else to see your Jesus. If Jesus, if he had changed his mind, and come down off the cross, if Jesus lost the compassion that he has for us, where would we be? This is Passion Week. And you ought to feel something just because. Not because of anything I've said, not because of what the choir is saying, but if that seed has ever been planted in you and you know what the day represents, there ought to be something in you right now that is just springing forth like a spring of running water to let you know that, God, I thank you. I thank you for your ever watching eye. And so I say to the people of God on this Resurrection Sunday morning, when you leave this place, tell somebody about the good news. Tell somebody about Jesus of Nazareth.